I think you might know this, but some of my favorite moments with my kids are out on the water fishing. It's just a hobby we've got. We love to do it. It started in the neighborhood, going after the really little fish to sort of get them into it and excited to catch. And eventually it moved on to bigger fish. That was this weekend. We went out. For some reason, they had Friday off school. I don't know why, but they were off school. And so we took advantage of it. We took them out. We caught some fish, and it was a lot of fun. And something happened on the drive back in the boat that doesn't normally happen for me. I started to feel a little queasy, a little seasick even. And what people will tell you with that is you've got to make some good choices to prepare for it and to prevent it. I made bad choices that day on the way back in choppy water. I was looking down at my phone trying to answer emails and catch up, and I was eating a bag of Cheetos. So bad combination. But they tell you when you start to get seasick on a boat, what are you supposed to do? Anybody know? You look at the horizon, right? You look at the horizon, a far-off fixed point. You lift your eyes up from the waves and sort of the turmoil that's around you, and you look at a fixed, immovable point, right? A point that will not move and that can't be shaken. And the reality is, sometimes when you're out on the water, all you need is just a different perspective. And the same is true in life, right? There's moments in life where you need someone to come along and say, hey, listen, you need to look at this from a new or a different kind of perspective. There's moments where we've got to be reminded to bring our eyes up off of the problems of the day, off of the shifting circumstances all around us, and we've got to set our eyes on the rock-solid promises of eternity, right? The promises that God has made to us that will never move and never be shaken. We've got to ensure that we are walking through this world each and every day with a godly perspective. Abraham did that. And if you've got your Bibles, join me again this week in Hebrews 11 as we continue our series on faith. And this morning, we get to Abraham. Now, there is much we can learn from Abraham and his life and his faithfulness to God. And I'm telling you right now, we will not get to all of it today, right? Hebrews 11 mentions Abraham a couple of times. We're coming back to it. So don't leave here if I don't hit your favorite Abraham story thinking we've missed it. We'll probably be back to it here in just a couple of weeks. For Abraham's life this morning, as we look at God's word, here's our title. If you're taking notes, it's the main idea, and it's this: a faithful perspective helps us to faithfully follow. We're going to see in Abraham's life that a faithful, godly, eternal, forward-looking perspective is what allowed Abraham to faithfully follow God wherever God called him. And it'll do the same for us. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 8, God's word says this: by faith. Let's pause there. That's the word, right? We see it in every single person mentioned in Hebrews 11. It is faith that drives these people to live the way that they did. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out. He didn't know where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. We first read about Abraham in the Old Testament, Genesis, first book of the Bible, chapter 12. If you got your Bible open, put a bookmark where you're at in Hebrews 11, flip to the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read about God's call of Abraham because this is a massive moment in Scripture. And I want to make sure that we understand how Abraham fits into the larger story of God's Word. Genesis 12, verse 1, it says this: now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make you great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all of the families of the earth will be blessed. And so Abraham went, as the Lord told him. Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed Haran. Have you ever heard that song the kids would sing in church, VBS, Father Abraham had many sons? I'm not going to sing it for you this morning. You know what I'm talking about? Right, that song starts here. Right, it's traced right back here to Genesis 12. right? This is where God begins to set apart a people for himself. This is where God works through Abraham and builds this great nation. And you might notice that he's called Abram here. God changes his name in Genesis 17. I'm just going to say Abraham in this sermon and in the next one for the sake of consistency. But look at it. In verses 1, God commands Abraham to go out. There's a command there, very clear. But there's also promises attached to the command. Look at verses 2 and 3. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to bless all of the families of the earth through you. This is a big, big deal. And we know that as we've read the entirety of God's word now, that the blessing God speaks of there is Jesus. Right? The families of the earth will be blessed in and through Jesus. It's only through placing your faith and trust in Jesus that you can be made right with God and brought into a relationship with God. That's the promise that God makes to Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter 12. And then you can trace the family, right? Abraham's descendants all the way through Scripture to Jesus. If you look in Matthew and in Luke around the birth of Christ, it talks about the genealogy of Jesus. Both of them trace right back here to Abraham. Why? Because God promised Abraham the entire earth is going to be blessed through his family. And we'll get into it more in our next sermon on Abraham, but I wanted to make sure that we had that foundational knowledge of our Bible, right? God promises that the Savior of the world that we know now as Jesus would come through the line of Abraham. It's called the Abrahamic Covenant. It fleshes out more in Genesis 15 and in Genesis 17. You can read that this week. It's a few chapters after where we're at right now. And as you read through the Old Testament from this moment forward, you see this family growing into a great nation, and you see miracle after miracle, provision after provision, where God has his hand on his people, preserving the line from Abraham to Jesus, ultimately our Savior, right? This is a great reminder as we read God's word. This is not a thousand independent stories put together in one book. This is one story with every piece of it working together, designed to draw us into a relationship with God and the presence of God. But again, for this morning, our focus on Abraham, it's God's call. It's Abraham's response. And what do we learn? It's that faithful perspective that helps us to faithfully follow. Let's read and see how we got there. Our first point, if you're taking notes, is this. Abraham obeyed when God called. Hebrews 11, verse 8 says this. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. Genesis 12, 3 says, the Lord said to Abraham, go. And so Abraham went. I love this, right? The timing of the call and the response. Abraham obeyed while he was being called, right? While God is talking to him, he is packing up his stuff to get on the road. And Hebrews 11, 8, the Greek there is interesting. The phrase, when he was called, it is a present participle, which speaks of action going on at the same time as the leading verb. The leading verb there in Hebrews 11, 8 is obeyed. Now, for those of us that did not make A's in English or that are not English teachers in here, let me tell you what that means. It means we can read Hebrews 11, 8 like this. Abraham, while God is talking to him, calling him out, began to obey before God even finishes the sentence. God calls and Abraham is already moving. We'll get into this more as we flesh out Abraham's life, but if you look in Acts 7 and in Joshua 24, you see this is a major step of faith for Abraham. This is a major move of obedience for him. Those two chapters, Acts 7 and Joshua 24, tell us the kind of region that Abraham lived in, full of idols, people that worshiped idols, hearts that were set on idols. And so for Abraham to move or leave when God calls, he's leaving behind his worldview. He's leaving behind what's familiar. He's leaving behind friends and families and customs and traditions. All of it he is leaving behind because he heard the word of God, and now he's going to live obedient to it. He left Ur, an influential city in Mesopotamia. It was established. It was wealthy. And moved. And if you're thinking, no big deal, I've moved before, right? You don't really understand the culture of the day, right? This isn't like moving from Houston to Dallas to take a new job. The ancient Near East, it was a pretty dangerous place if you faced it alone. right? Physical protection for your life, physical protection for your stuff and for your property. It came from a close-knit community through family that you surrounded yourself with. It's the idea of safety in numbers. Well, we understand that a little bit, right? Traveling was dangerous back then. Moving was exceptionally dangerous because it separated you from community, from the numbers that would keep you safe. So Abraham stepping out, great faith as he's obedient to God. Now, look at the screen again, Hebrews 11:8, Genesis 12:3. How did God communicate with Abraham? Was it a dream? Did God communicate with a vision? Was it a shooting star? Did God line all the stars up in the sky with an arrow and say, Abraham, follow that arrow and go that direction? No, none of those things. Right? God spoke to Abraham with his words. We can learn from that here. The idea of God speaking to us with his word is massive throughout Scripture. Genesis to Revelation, all the way through, God speaks with his word. We see it over and over again in the book of Hebrews as well. That's where we're at. So look at Hebrews 2. We must pay closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. Hebrews 3:7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, if you hear the voice of God, don't harden your hearts, right? Listen to God's word. God spoke to Abraham with words, and he still speaks to me and you today with his words, and they're right here. They're in the Bible, right? If you want to know what God says, read his words. If you want to hear from God, read the word of God. Read your Bible. If you're at a crossroads in your life, and you're not sure what to do next, you're facing uncertainty or indecision, and you're sort of paralyzed to take that next step forward, I'm telling you, read the word of God, the Bible, and let him speak to you. Don't tell me that God's silent. Don't tell me that you're not hearing from him if you're not reading his word. He still speaks, and he speaks through his word. And while we're on it, I just say that God's never going to tell you to do something that goes against his word. Right, so if you get this feeling in your heart, this impression in your mind and heart, and you think, well, maybe God's speaking to me right now. If God is speaking to you, you think, and it goes against his word, that is not from God. Right? Don't come to my office next week and say, my family is having financial hardship, and I feel like God is leading me to rob this bank to provide for my family. That's ridiculous, right? It goes against the word of God. Don't say, hey, listen, I'm unhappy in my marriage, and I feel like it's okay for me to step out on my spouse. It goes against the word of God. You see where I'm going with this? Right? If you feel like God's speaking to you, confirm it in his word. Better yet, read the word of God and allow God to speak. Make sure you read the Bible and that you read it in context. Do not put something in the Bible that's not there. I saw this online this week. Somebody read something into the Bible that's not really there. Check this picture out. The mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. Now, baseball didn't exist when the book of Jonah was written, okay? This is a different kind of mariners than we're talking about here, and based on the last couple of games that the Astros played, we know that the mariners are not afraid. Listen, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Understand what it says, and live it out. Wednesday night, I had a meeting in my office, very important meeting with our LITs. That's our fifth graders. It stands for Leaders in Training, and it's fifth graders that have stepped up and said, we're going to serve an entire year here in our church family. They do different things on Sunday mornings. They do different things on Wednesday nights, but they are serving in the church. It's a great ministry. It's a really, really good thing. There's a lot of great things going on in our kids' ministry. Our fifth graders are serving. Let me just say that if you're not and you haven't found a place yet, we need you in our kids' ministry, right? Go check in at that desk there. But they said two things to me that really stuck out. The first was very important. They're sitting in my office, and they said, hey, listen, more than one of them said this. Let me preface it with that. Sometimes our parents, when they're sitting in church, they fall asleep when you're preaching. They're honest, and they will sell you out, mom and dad. So let me just say that if you have a fifth grader and you're in here and you feel like I'm making more eye contact with you this morning, I'm just trying to catch you, right? I want to see it actually happening. And I'll call you out. Not really. After the service, I will. The second thing they said that actually was important was this. We're talking about the Bible, and this is what they said. They said, we know that we are supposed to read the Bible and do what it says. Right? They know that they are supposed to go to the Word of God, and when they hear God speak through His Word, that they're supposed to live it out. Listen to God as God leads, like Abraham, and when God speaks, like Abraham, we need to obey even when we don't fully understand. Look back at Hebrews 11:8. It says, "And Abraham went out not knowing where he was going." He didn't know where he was going to end up. Genesis 12:1. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your kindred, your father's house." Where? Well, just go to the land, and I'll show you when you get there. Abraham just knew that he was supposed to go. God did not fill him in on the details until way later. That's our second point this morning if you're taking notes. We're called to go. We're not necessarily called to know. Right? And that can be tough. Right? That goes against my personality. Right? That goes against my nature. I'm a details guy. I need the details. When I put an address into the GPS of my phone and hit go, I can't just follow the instructions. I have to zoom out on the map and get all of the details of the entire route before I'll take the first step. But listen, when it comes to my faith, more than being a details guy, I just want to be a faithful guy. And I want you to be a faithful guy or a faithful gal who's just willing and able to step up when God calls. Remember, God spoke, and what's Abraham do? He's packing his stuff up while God is still speaking. Imagine the conversation that he has with those that are around him back in his hometown. His father, his family, they say, "Abraham, you're packing up. Where are you going?" He says, "I don't know." And they say, "Well, what are you looking for out there? You've got everything you need right here. What are you looking for?" And he says, "I don't know." "Well, Abraham, how are you going to know when you get there? Like, where are you going to set up camp?" And he's like, "I don't know." And then I go, "Why are you doing this?" He says, "Because God told me to." Right? That was enough for him to get him moving. That there's no mystery about it for him. He heard from God, and that was enough. He didn't know what God was going to do with his life. He didn't know what God was going to do with his family and his descendants. On this side of history, we can read, we can see, we know how God used that obedience to shape eternity. A.W. Tozer, great writer, author, pastor, said this: "God's looking for people that'll do that. God's looking for people through whom He can do the impossible. It's a pity, though, that many of us plan only the things we can do by ourselves." Be like Abraham today. Be willing to step up, step out, and obey, even without the big picture. Be willing to leave behind whatever God calls you to leave behind. I can tell you, it was not easy for Abraham, but it was worth it. Sometimes God calls us to leave behind what's safe, to leave behind what's expected in our lives. Sometimes God calls us to leave behind things that are deeply personal. Look at Abraham's call. Leave your homeland, leave your family, leave your father's house. It's personal. There's times where faith will call us to distance ourselves from what we've known so that we can look forward to what's next. This is a great reminder for us here in Scripture that sometimes comfort can be the enemy of obedience. That's a theme for so many faithful lives in Scripture. Abraham, he leaves this faithful or this comfortable life to obey God. Moses is another great example of this. After he flees Egypt, he's in the desert. He's got a family. He's got kids. He's got a routine. He's happy. He's comfortable. God speaks to him, right? The burning bush, and says, "Go back to Egypt. Stand before the greatest, most powerful king on earth and tell him, let my people go." He had to leave what was comfortable to be obedient. By the way, Moses, as he stands there and says, "Let my people go," who are those people? It's Abraham's family. God grew them, like he said he would, into this massively great nation. New Testament, we see it as well. Philip is one of my favorite examples of this. He's a follower of Jesus. Things go nuts in Jerusalem. The persecution rises up, and so he runs to save his life. He ends up in the city of Samaria. He tells the people in Samaria, he's faithful to do what God called him to do. He tells them about Jesus. So many people in that city trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the Bible describes the ancient city of Samaria, after it's impacted by the gospel, as a place, a city filled with great joy. Philip is safe and he's comfortable. And God says, it's time for you to go. You got to let go of what's comfortable. And Philip, I need you in the desert place. And he stepped up and he went. So many times when God calls, if we're going to be faithful, we've got to let go of what's comfortable. It happens in our world today as well. Some of you remember Sonny and Tiffany Sedate. Love their story of faithfulness and obedience to God. Right, retiring early from a very successful career in oil and natural gas. What's God called them to do? And go plant a church overseas. Right, be faithful to step out and go. And they did. What about you? Are you walking in obedience each and every day, or are you chasing comfort? We want God's best for our lives. But there's times where we're holding on to what's safe and what's comfortable, and we won't take that step of faith out into it. If you're chasing comfort, Charles Spurgeon says, you're losing a golden opportunity to be used for the kingdom of God. Listen to the word of God. And as God speaks to you through his word, as he speaks to you through other believers, as he speaks to you through time in prayer or time in the church family, listen and obey. Psalm 119, 105 says this, your word of God, to lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let God's word speak into your life and light your path. Let God's word shine into your situation. Let God's word shine into your family, into your marriage, into your parenting, into your relationships. Let God's word shine into your workplace, into your community. Let God's word shine in. And as God makes things clear for you, do what God is calling you to do. Don't wait for all the details. They might not be coming until way later. Chelsea and I, sometimes when we go out, she'll look at me and she'll say this phrase. I don't know if any other wives say this to their husbands, but she'll say, are you really wearing that out to dinner tonight? And most of the time when she says that, she's referring to my shoes. I've got these Crocs that I like to wear. They're camouflage Crocs, and she doesn't think they're appropriate for a night out to dinner. And so sometimes there's conflict around that, but even still, a couple of years ago for a present, Chelsea got me Croc charms to put on my Crocs. Has anybody seen those? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, these are the greatest Croc charms that you have ever seen. These Croc charms are headlights, right? They will snap on. Somebody tried to buy these after the last service. They will snap on. So there's a bidding war going on. Find me after. They'll snap onto the front of the Crocs, right? And here's the deal. I can walk around outside with these, and I can see on the sidewalk where I'm going. Right, I can wear them when we're camping somewhere, and I can see them in the woods as I'm walking. Now, I'll tell you this, it's not going to light up the entire path, right? It's not going to get me from point A to point B in one shot, but it's going to give me enough light so that I can trust that I'm able to take the next step safely. Listen, when we go to God's word, he's not going to give us the details from now until the day that we die. He might not give us the details from now until the end of the month. He might not give us the details from now until the end of the day. But we can trust the word of God when we hear from him enough to take that next step. Don't cling to comfort. As God speaks to you through his word, take that next step and obey. How can anyone do that? Look back at Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham did that. Now look at the beginning of the chapter. What does Hebrews 11:1 say? Faith is the assurance, right? This is the mental understanding and comprehension of the things that we're hoping for and the conviction of what's not seen. This is mind and heart working together, understanding what God has promised with our minds and believing it so strongly in our hearts that we cannot latch on to anything else. Abraham was called to go, and that's what he did. He didn't know where. How? Faith. He had a faithful perspective in his life. Abraham was looking forward to what he hadn't seen yet. Abraham's looking forward to eternity, trusting in God's promises to be true. And that's our third point, and that's really the truth that makes all of this kind of faith possible. It's understanding that faith looks forward. Look at Hebrews 11:10. For he, Abraham, he was looking forward. How was he looking forward? By faith. By faith, he looks forward to what? To a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. It's perspective. That's what this is. His eyes were up off the current realities of daily life, and he's looking ahead to the promises that God has made for those that trust in him. Abraham left comfort. Where did he live? He lived in a tent, but he was looking forward to a city that had foundations. The tent, that tent life, I mean, that's temporary. Foundations are permanent. Look forward. And as you're looking forward, remember that the things of this world, they are temporary, but the promises of God are eternal. The challenges that you will face this week in your family, in your marriage, in your life, in your finances, with your health, with whatever challenges you face, they are temporary. Your wins this week, those are temporary too. The successes, the awards, the accolades, all of that, it's fleeting. It will not last. Get your eyes up. Change perspective. Eyes up on the promises of God. Live here, absolutely, but live here looking ahead. And let that faithful, eternal perspective shape how you live today. Right? Obedient to God's word in your life. When God speaks, we go. How do we go? Well, it's because we're looking forward in faith. That's the major lesson that God teaches us through Abraham's life here. Abraham, by faith, listen to this, he framed his entire existence on this earth by living with the great anticipation that God would be faithful to his promises. What's that mean for us? It means that we can be faithful in the present because we're confident of what God will do in the future. How? Perspective, right? Faith looks forward. Trusting in what God has promised. Faith understands that God has something far greater in store for those that trust in him. What? Look at Hebrews 11:10. When we're looking forward to a city that has foundations not built by human hands. We're looking forward to eternity, to heaven with our Lord and Savior. Revelation 21 tells us about that city. City with no tears, no pain, no evil, no sin, no heartbreak. None of that. A city where the people of God live forever in the presence of God. One of my favorite realities of that city is found in Revelation 21, 23, where it says this, that city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it because the glory of God gives it light. If you've trusted as Jesus and your Savior, eyes up, that's what you're looking forward to. You're looking forward to a city that is lit up by the glory of God. So as you live here, eyes there, to have the right perspective. Paul tells us the same thing in Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from heaven we await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've trusted in Christ, if you call yourself a Christian, a follower of Jesus, our faith looks forward to that day. You might be standing where Abraham was. You might be standing at this great crossroads in your life where you know to be obedient to God, to take that next step, it's going to require that this massive act of faith. I want to encourage you, keep your eyes up like Abraham. Heavenly perspective, forward-looking perspective, and take that step of faith. Would you pray with me this morning? Their heads bowed, eyes closed. So let that be your prayer this morning. God, give me the right perspective. God, pull my eyes up to look ahead to you, to your promises. And God, as my eyes are up, looking forward, help me to be faithful today because I'm confident of what you will do in the future. Tell them that this morning. If you're in here today, Abraham took a first step before he could take a next step. If you're in here and you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, if you're not in that relationship where you can trust God and trust in His promises, I want to invite you to take that first step before you leave today. Just a second, everybody in here, we're going to stand, we're going to sing one more worship song to the Lord. And as we do, our pastors are going to be down here at the front. We'd love to pray with you about placing your faith and trust in Christ so that you can take hold of those promises. We know that all of the promises of God's Word, they find their yes in Jesus. If you've never trusted in Christ, let that be your first step this morning. Maybe you're in here this morning, you're walking through a difficult season, and it's making it difficult for you to look ahead, to trust in the promises of God. We'd love to pray with you about that. Maybe you're in a difficult season. We'd love to pray with you about that. Maybe baptism is your next step. We'd love to pray with you about that. Maybe God's moving in your heart in some other way. Whatever it is, however God's speaking, whether you're ready to trust in Christ or pray about something else in just a minute, as we stand to sing, that'll be your invitation. We'd love to pray with you. Father, we love you. We trust you. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you are faithful to keep your promises. Anchor that deep down in our hearts, Father, so that we can look forward, trusting you to do exactly what you say you're going to do. So in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Would you guys stand with us this morning as we continue?
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with Him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.